Fan on Demand.
Welcome back to Florida Auto Exchange Stadium here in Dunedin. Hope you enjoyed our radio and TV simulcast. And now we're all back on the radio and stuff. Blue Jays beat the Tigers. That's what they just said in that seventh inning stretch song. They beat the Tigers 9-4, just 4 days after losing 18-4 to the Tigers. For their fourth win in a row, and they even up their Grapefruit League record at 11-11. Totals for the ball game for the Blue Jays, 9 runs on 17 hits and 1 error. For the Tigers, 4 runs on 7 hits. They made no errors. Todd Redmond is the winning pitcher. He improves to 2-1 on the spring. Redmond was perfect into the fifth inning and threw 5 and allowed just 1 hit and 1 walk with 8 strikeouts. Then he got knocked around in the sixth inning, so his final line is not that pretty. 4 runs, 3 earned on 5 hits over 6 innings with a walk and 8 strikeouts and 1 home run allowed. But boy, were those first 5 innings something else. The losing pitcher is Kyle Lobstein, pressed into action today for the Tigers because their scheduled starter, Jose Alvarez, was traded yesterday. Lobstein was down 5-0 with only 1 out in the first inning thanks to that huge first for the Blue Jays. And he is 0-1. On the spring. No save in the game. Home runs. Blue Jays hit a pair. Edwin Encarnacion, a 3-run bomb in the bottom of the first. His third home run of the spring. And Moises Sierra with a little opposite field floater that the wind carried out also in that first inning for his second home run of the spring. Jose Reyes left the game after 3 innings with what they're calling a slight amount of tightness in his left hamstring. Reyes says that there's nothing to worry about. We shall see. We're only 9 days away from opening day. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Those are the numbers to call. We are going to Blue Jays talk it up right around the country all the way to 4:30 Eastern time. We'll do that soon, but we'll check in with Joe Siddle as we continue. Blue Jays beat the Tigers 9-4. It's the post game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Batting in. There's a deep charge to left field, and you can forget about this one. 3-run home run for Double E, number 3 on the season, and the Blue Jays are swinging red-hot bats.
They sure were. That call from Buck Martinez in the first inning, red-hot bats for the Blue Jays early, as in that first inning, back-to-back doubles by Jose Reyes and Melky Cabrera, both off the wall, one in center, one in left, got the Jays up 1-0, and after the walk to Bautista, that 3-run homer by Edwin. Then Brett Laurie struck out looking, and Moises Sierra went deep. Colby Rasmus doubled. The hits just kept on coming as the Blue Jays beat the Detroit Tigers 9-4. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. We will Blue Jays talk it up right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And right across the Sportsnet Radio Network to the bottom of the hour. So get them calls to come and talk to Frank Head. And if he likes you, he'll put you on the air. Before we get to your calls, though, little chat with Joe Siddle here, because we had to sit out the broadcast as Jerry and Buck did it. But Joe's here and watching and learning and enjoying. And, boy, Joe, that was two different Todd Redmonds that we saw today. Perfect through 4. 1 hit through 5, and then just knocked around in the 6th.
Yeah, Todd Redmond did himself a lot of favors today. He did what he had to do to continue to be in this competition. He was very sharp. He had great command of all 3 pitches again today. And we talk about location and command a lot, and that's why. Because when you locate the ball real well, it's much more difficult to square up. And that's what Todd Redmond did. He was sharp with all his pitches. Some may say the Tigers didn't send their lineup over here from Lakeland, and that is true. But what I saw from Todd Redman today was the quality of his pitches. Doesn't really matter to me who is hitting today. I'm looking at those pitches themselves. Very good today. Ran into the trouble there in the sixth. Did he hit the wall? I think so. Fatigue sets in. He hasn't been this far. Gave up a lot of hard hit balls in the sixth inning after the leadoff homer. But the other thing is this Todd Redman? You know, can he go into the sixth and seventh? He didn't do it a whole lot in the past. Or is just this 4 innings good for him, 5 innings good for him? We'll see.
And the thing he said, and we'll hear from him a little bit later on, but I talked to him, he said they changed their approach on him third time through the lineup, and he didn't change their approach on them. He says maybe he should have started pitching backwards a little bit. You would think after six straight hard, it shouldn't take six straight hard hit balls to figure that out, though.
No, it's a chess game out there. Hitters are thinking what you're going to throw. You've got to, as a pitcher and catcher, come up with a plan of what they're thinking. You always want to pitch to your strengths and to the hitter's weaknesses. If they don't coincide, that's when the chess match comes in. And it's your third time around. Did you start them off with an off-speed pitch the first two times? Did you start hard and go off-speed after? And you don't want to develop a pattern. And that's what I think what happens also with Todd Redman is, if you do develop a bit of a pattern and you start leaving the ball more on the plate, Todd Redman gets hit hard when he leaves the ball on the plate. And that's what happened in the sixth inning.
And the Blue Jays offensively do what they're supposed to do when Kyle Lobstein is pitching.
Well, they did it. They beat up, I think, on some minor league pitching today. Not to take anything away from the hitters, because you still got to hit the ball. But yeah, great offensive attack. 17 runs, a couple home runs. A real good day overall for the hitters. Got to feel good about yourselves. We're comfortable with this lineup. Everybody, I think, is comfortable with the Toronto Blue Jays lineup. That was a great day today. They had a good day yesterday. I don't think that's going to be a big concern. Of course, there's going to be different guys on the mound when the curtain goes up, and one being David Price opening day.
We're not concerned with the Blue Jays lineup. However, you're a little concerned with the Blue Jays lineup if it doesn't include Jose Reyes. He left today after a couple of innings with what he's calling nothing big. John Gibbons has said he has zero concern today about Jose Reyes' hamstring, but this is the first little blip as far as the position players are concerned in what's been an otherwise perfect spring health-wise.
And you never even want to hear that, because anytime somebody says, oh, it's okay, it's nothing, that's right away my red flag goes up and you get a little bit of a concern, especially if you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan after what you went through last year.
Especially if you're Jose Reyes and with the history he does on his hamstrings. And the Blue Jays begin the season, and even let's go a couple of days back, and start up in Montreal, you have the first 12 games on turf. And that's not wonderful if you've got hammy issues.
No, artificial turf is never body friendly, and that's with the start in Montreal for a couple of days, then heading back down to Tampa and then home. Yeah, it's not going to help him, but let's hope it is what Jose Reyes says, that it's nothing and that he can get back at it here real soon.
No rush, of course. It's still pretty early, and if Jose needs 2 or 3 or 4 days off before getting back in, that'll be okay. But hopefully, yeah, it doesn't turn into something bigger than it is, because it's a big bite out of the Blue Jays lineup not to have him in there.
No, you can't afford that right now, that's for sure. Or at any time. You noticed that last year for sure. But that's your leadoff hitter. He's your catalyst. And what he's been doing, too, is he's been coming around. He had a slow start offensively, but then he started going at it right now, and he's swinging the bat pretty well. He's running the bases well, playing good defense. He is the Jose Reyes the Toronto Blue Jays wanted when they got him, and that's what he needs to maintain. We cannot probably live too long here without Jose Reyes.
Yeah,
let that happen.
It's not. It's a big blow if they lose him from the top of the order. Joe, thank you as always. Tomorrow, back on with the pregame at 12:30 from Tampa, the Blue Jays and the New York Yankees. We'll see Mark Burley up against Michael Pineda. That should be fun.
We'll see you then.
All right, there he is. It's Joe Siddle. Now it's your turn. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays talk is next. Jays beat the Tigers 9-4. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Gifted. There's a line drive into center field. That's a base hit. So Bautista scores. Here comes Edwin. The throw is cut. Edwin scores. And a big two-out RBI hit indeed for Rasmus. Not one run batted in, but a couple. And now the Blue Jays stretch the lead to 8-4.
Colby Rasmus with his second hit of the game. He had a single and a double, and those two RBIs. Jerry Howarth with the call as the Blue Jays go on to beat the Tigers by a score of 9-4. Edwin Encarnacion with a double and a homer, two runs scored and three RBIs. Jose Bautista 2-for-2 with a couple of singles and a couple of walks. Melky Cabrera had a couple of doubles and a single. He was 3-for-4. A big day offensively for your Blue Jays. Moises Sierra goes deep as well. A 9-4 win to get them back to 500 on the spring at 11-11. I'm Mike Wilner, and this is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We have exactly 1 week of exhibition games to go. Just seven more, five of them here in Florida. So now is when you start to think that you start to think. Let's get for the phones. Pat in Etobicoke, you're going to start things off. Welcome aboard.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am well. Good afternoon to you as well.
Now, the game tomorrow, the Jays and the Yanks will be on the MLB Network for anyone who does have that at 1 o'clock, just so people know it is televised on that network. Now, I want to talk a bit about Sanchez here.
Thank you for the public service announcement there.
Well,
off
if the guys
top.
Want to watch the Jays game up in Toronto here, they can watch it on the MLB Network. Yeah, it's on at 1 o'clock. I can't believe people wanted to keep Sanchez up here and in the rotation. We already are going to have, looks like, three pitchers now exposed in the bullpen to waivers. We could have three pitchers. Keeping Sanchez up here, all it would have done is exposed another pitcher that we don't need exposed. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. Are they not McGowan, Rogers, and I can't remember the third one?
Redmond.
Redmond. And Redmond. Well, there you go, and Redmond pitched today. So, I mean, I didn't see the benefits in keeping Sanchez up here. He needs to get back down to Double-A, get some innings in, pitch. He needs to pitch. He needs to work a bit more. The guy's got a huge upside. We all know that, and he'll be here one day. But now is not the time for that man to be up here. Now, barring a trade, they might lose a pitcher or two. They might. I don't know what's going to happen here, but if McGowan can get stretched out, maybe, you know, maybe we've got some innings out of him or even Redmond based on what he did today. So, you know, they could lose a pitcher or two barring a trade here because they are out of options. And Sanchez would have just made that cloudier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, I don't disagree with you that Aaron Sanchez should not be on this team. You're right. He still needs some more seasoning down there in the minors. There's zero question about that. And people watch and people hear and people get excited. And he's an exciting guy. I don't think there's any question about that. But and that's why people want him up on this team. But if it was a different situation, if Sanchez was ready and good enough, and you know, if the right baseball decision was to have him make the team, then he makes the team. You can't worry about losing guys on options who aren't as who are out of options if they don't help the team as much as the kid does.
Oh,
right?
No argument there, Mike.
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, yes, if he was up, he was ready, and he was up here. Yes, go for it. Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. But at least this gives him a little bit more leverage to maybe make a trade and not lose somebody to waivers. They might. We'll see how it comes out.
They might. They're not going to be able to keep all of McGowan, Redmond, Rogers, and Jeffress.
Yeah.
One of those guys is going to have to go, assuming they're all healthy and ready to start the season.
And you can believe that other teams are out there just watching and waiting to see who they're going to fire out. Because, you know, two of these four guys could serve as a major league team with no problem. Probably all four of them could.
But three of them are going to be here.
Yes.
You have to imagine that three of them are going to be here. And you put Jay Happ in there too. Jay Happ has options, but he's got 5 years of service, so the Blue Jays aren't allowed to send him down without his permission. But if everybody's healthy and if Dustin McGowan continues to look as good and stay as healthy and is able to be stretched out, then there is going to be a bit of a logjam at the bottom of the roster,
I think it will be
interesting to see how they solve it.
I think the best thing here might be to send Happ down for a month or so.
Oh, you can't.
Unless he agrees to it, of course.
Right, and there's no reason why he would agree to it.
Well, no, I don't.
No reason why he would agree.
No, probably not. But
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate the call. I want to get to the next bunch of people. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Jay is in Oshawa. Jay, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. How are you?
I continue to be well. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, that's good. To one thing, do you think we have it? Have what it takes to become more than a 500 club or better for this season? And do you think is this trade still in order? And that's it.
Well, I think they could definitely stand to be a lot more solid as far as the starting rotation goes. I like Drew Hutchison. I like Brandon Morrow. I don't have a problem with Dickey and Burley, and I think that the what seems to be the conventional wisdom notion that the Blue Jays rotation is in shambles is hysterically overstated. I don't mind Dustin McGowan. I think it's a fantastic idea to try him out as a fifth starter, but you have zero expectations as to how long he's going to be able to remain healthy and contributing to a major league team. So by no means do you have anyone in that rotation that you can simply put a check mark beside and say he's going to give us a top-of-the-rotation type performance this year. So it would be nice to be a little more secure to the extent that you can be secure. And I don't know how secure anybody can be. The Braves thought they had a terrific top-of-the-rotation, and they have two guys who need Tommy John. Same thing with the Oakland A's. So, but to be more secure would be nice. Is there a trade available? I don't know. You know, Jeff Samardzija is not a top-of-the-rotation pitcher.
Fair enough.
Is he going to be moved even?
Do you think it was wise that we gave up on Santana?
They didn't give up on Santana.
Fair enough. I just thought maybe they should have paid the. They just gave him what he wanted, then we probably would have had a pitcher, but we probably would have had
they
the
did give him what
the
they But they did give him what he wanted, and he agreed to come here, and then he broke that deal.
Fair enough.
So there's nothing else the Blue Jays could have done as far as Ervin Santana is concerned.
Okay, fair enough. I guess that's about it.
But to your original question, yes, I think this team can be an above 500 team. I think this can be a very, very good team. It's extremely talented.
Yeah.
The offense is great. The defense is great. The bullpen is great. The starting pitching's okay with a chance to be a lot better than okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess the season will tell.
It always does. That's the best part, getting to watch all 162 games. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate the call. I know people want answers to questions that aren't going to be revealed for months. And for me anyway, I think there's a lot of enjoyment in watching the season unfold. You can ask, you can try to find out from as many quote-unquote experts as possible how the season is going to unfold. But nobody knows. Nobody, I mean, how many people picked the Boston Red Sox to finish fourth or fifth in the American League East last year? Pretty much everybody. Pretty much everybody picked the Blue Jays to finish first or second in the American League East last year. Watch and enjoy and let it happen. 416-870-0590, star 590, on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Tom Young reminds me to remind you that for continuous baseball coverage, you can catch the MLB Network on Rogers Channel 415 in Ontario. Contact your video provider. Ask them to add MLB Network to their lineup today. The Jays and Yankees will be on MLB Network tomorrow, and we will have it for you as well on the Sportsnet Radio Network, so you can watch the pictures, turn the volume down, and listen to us. Blue Jays beat the Tigers 9-4. Todd Redmond, 4 perfect innings, 5 great innings, and the 6th not so much. Brandon is in Toronto. Brandon, what do you have on the Jays talk?
I'm just trying to be optimistic here and just trying to get something going and to get this city behind this team again. I feel like everyone's just been kind of scared, and I'm tired of hearing negativity. I've gotten to a point. It was nice hearing you being positive and just hearing, you know, not a lot of people picked the Red Sox, and not a lot of it just has to happen. And I feel like this team is not much worse from last year. It just we have talent. It's time just to get it done. And
this team's actually much better right now than it was last year. And I know that they didn't make really any splashes in the offseason.
They
traded for Eric Kratz, and they signed Deonner Navarro, and that was it.
And they lost Josh Johnson, which it could have.
Which made them better.
Yeah, he went 2-8.
And you know, losing J.Pierre and Sebia makes them better because off the year that Aaron Sebia had last year. The
only
Drew
person
Hutchinson
I have
coming back makes
that I yeah. still think we should have, like, I wish he was on the team was Rajai Davis.
They could really use him.
We could really use him.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm just trying to be optimistic, and it's good to be back on Blue Jays talk. It's fun to have baseball back, and it's exciting.
It is great to have baseball back, absolutely. And you know what? A week from today, we'll have baseball back in Canada, which is fantastic, in Montreal for a couple of games. I appreciate the call. I understand that, I don't know, because I don't really understand. Is it more fun to be negative than it is to be positive? To see the glass more than half empty? I don't know. But I do understand that after last year and after all the excitement, and the way the Blue Jays stubbed their toes coming out of the gate and then just wound up having a terrible year, I understand why people don't want to get too excited, because a lot of people got their hopes up and those hopes were crushed by the season that they had. But this is not 2013. 2013 is over, and this remains a very talented team. And the truth of the matter is that outside of Josh Johnson, all the people that you were so excited about last year are still here. And Drew Hutchison is here instead of Josh Johnson. And you should be very excited about him based on how he finished 2012 before he got hurt and based on the spring he's had. This team, there are lots of reasons why things could go wrong. But to simply look at this team and say it's no good and not realize that last year R.A. Dickey pitched hurt for 2 months. And in the last 4 months of the season, once his shoulder and neck were normal, he had the same whip as John Lester, who was the ace of the team that won the World Series. Not realize that Brandon Morrow missed 4 months last year, that six regulars missed at least 40 games last year, that they only had the lineup they wanted on the field seven times all of last season. I mean, to just sit there and say they suck and not understand any of that stuff, that's what I don't understand. Brian is on the 404. Are you still on the 404, Brian?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, good. Well, I hope you're using a hands-free device to Blue Jays talk it up right now. Good, good.
Thanks for having me on. I'm a big Wilner fan. Just a quick question and a comment. My comment is about Irvin Santana. You know, I know he didn't want to come when we offered him a one-year deal, but let's be honest. If the Jays had offered him a three-year deal in January for, let's say, $45 million, he'd right now be in a Jays uniform. But I'm not lamenting Santana, to be honest.
But you say let's be honest, and honestly, you're probably incorrect.
Well, nobody has the answer to it, but they only offer him a one-year deal. That's the deal that he turned down.
That's what he wanted.
He wanted because he's holding out for more money. Had we given him a contract that he thought he would deserve, he would be here right now.
Right, but that's not 3 years and $45 million.
Well,
that's probably closer to 3 years and $55 million, if he was even willing to take 3 years, which he wasn't at any point, I don't believe, in the winter.
Anyway, all right, we'll agree
or
disagree.
But we can't, Brian, because you don't know. You know, unless you're talking to agents and general managers, you don't know what the guy was asking for, and you don't know what he could have taken.
Well, what I'm saying is you don't know either, but there was a number.
Well, except that I talked to agents and general managers.
You would have signed. I don't know the number offhand, but there is a number.
There is absolutely a number at which he would have signed, yes.
My question is about Dustin McGowan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, and I think he could be the key. If he could be a starting pitcher and be durable, you know, with his stuff, he could be a difference maker. Do you think he could be that guy? Do you think he could be durable enough?
I hope so. But honestly, there's no reason to believe that he can, given all the problems that he's had. I mean, if Dustin McGowan makes the rotation this year, I will be thrilled because I'm a huge fan. And like you, I think he can be a difference maker. He's got incredible stuff. And the fact that he's managed to maintain it and maintain his command of it blows me away after everything that's happened to him medically. But every single time Dustin McGowan takes the mound this year, we will all be holding our breath on every pitch. And, you know, maybe he'll be fine, maybe he won't. But there's only one way to find out.
If you were the manager, would you put him in the pen or in the starting rotation?
I would. If I were the manager, knowing that I'm fighting for my job and I want this team to have its best chance to win, if Dustin McGowan shows me next time out and the time after that he's fine, I would absolutely put him in the rotation with zero hesitation.
I agree with you completely. Thanks a lot, Mike. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Blue Jays beat the Tigers 9-4 today. That really doesn't matter. It's spring training. They are 11-11 on the spring with a week to go. Next Saturday is going to be it for spring training. Very exciting. We're taking your phone calls all the way till 5 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Charlie is in Thornhill. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. A pleasure speaking with you, man. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. The pleasure's mine.
Actually, just as a small aside before I get to the baseball question, I don't know if you remember, but you played baseball with a buddy of mine at the Christie Pitts tournament. I think it was last summer with a guy named David Burke. I'm not sure if you remember that or not. But he played.
I do.
You do remember that, right?
Yeah, the Christie Pitts game was awesome.
It was awesome. And he said how funny you were and how intense you were, and he loved you and Sixero both.
Nice.
So anyway, on to the baseball questions. I wanted to ask you, do you think right now it looks like they're going to be going with an 8-man bullpen or a 7-man bullpen, in your opinion?
Oh, I hope they don't go with an 8-man bullpen. But see, the thing is, I hope they go with Dustin McGowan in the rotation. And you kind of have to protect yourself against McGowan and, against McGowan by maybe taking that extra arm. You also want to protect as many assets as you possibly could have. And really, I mean, are you going to lose Jeremy Jeffress so that you can keep Matt Tuiasosopo? I don't know. I wouldn't, personally. But we'll see. We'll see what that's why I think there may yet be some roster moves that are made, some people from outside the organization brought in, a trade or something, over the course of the next week. But I think that I'm not opposed to the 8-man bullpen to start the season, especially if it means McGowan can be in the rotation. But I don't think that it's your ideal roster.
That's a piggyback with McGowan, right?
I don't think it'll be a piggyback thing. I think that you hope you can get 5, and then you can just go to your normal bullpen.
Gotcha. Agreed. Other question is, does it look, do you think it's for sure clear now that Kratz has the backup catcher role and totally going down to AAA?
Seems to be that way. Tolley had a terrific day today. He hit 3 balls really, really hard. But Kratz has gotten the overwhelming majority of the time behind Gianna Navarro. Kratz and Tolley both caught R.A. Dickey in that minor league game yesterday. But really, when it comes down to it, Kratz offers more. He's got a better arm behind the plate. He's got power. He's a much better hitter overall than Josh Tolley, and he's shown that he can handle R.A. Dickey. And I know John Gibbons said today that before the game that it's going to come down to protecting the pitching, and whatever's best for R.A. Dickey, that's going to be the decision they make as far as the backup catcher is concerned. But the truth of the matter is Eric Kratz has been fine catching Dickey. Dickey has stated no preference. And even if he did, I think they would probably be pushing him towards Eric Kratz.
Agreed. And just one last question. If they do decide to go with the 7-man bullpen rather than 8 to start the year, as of now at least, obviously things could change, who would you have as that extra player off the bench?
It's tough. I want Anthony Gose because he's got game-changing speed late in games, and his defense is fantastic, and there's no legit backup center fielder to Colby Rasmus. I want Chris Getz because he's also got game-changing speed late in games, and he can play a couple of positions in the infield, and he protects you if Ryan Goins doesn't do well, and he's a better option, I think, as a utility infielder than Meisser Asturias. I know the fans want Munenori Kawasaki. That's partially a consideration as well. I want Dan Johnson because he's that big threatening bat off the bench. So there are a lot of guys that I would love to have in consideration for that fourth spot on a bench behind Sierra, Asturias, and Kratz. Who do you want? Oh, you're gone. Oh, well. Sorry about that. I tend not to throw those questions back, and we're hard up against a break. But, yeah, I mean, is there somebody else I'm missing? I'd love to know who that fourth guy on the bench should be in the minds of the Blue Jays fandom out there. So let me know. Either call us or tweet me at Wilderness590. We will come back, get you set for tomorrow, let the network go, but we're staying on. Blue Jays talk until 5 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, it is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
That's going to do it for us across the country. But remember, we will continue Blue Jays Talk It Up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca. Until 5 o'clock Eastern at 416-870-0590, star 590, and 1-888-666-0590. Tomorrow, the Blue Jays cross the causeway, and they're in Tampa against the New York Yankees. Mark Burley will get the start. We haven't seen him in a big league game in a while. He's going to be up against Michael Pineda of the Yankees, and we're also expecting to see Sergio Santos, Brett Cecil, and Steve Delabarre, who pitched today. So it'll be the first back-to-backs for Steve Delabarre this spring. We're going to start to see a lot more of those in the coming weeks. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern with the pregame show. First pitch set for just after 1:05 Eastern time. Make sure you come back and join us. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays Baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Buck Martinez, Joe Siddall, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Three and one. Hitters count for Brent Lord. Bouncing ball. Shortstop worth the second for one. Back to first. Not nearly in time. And Lowry picks up the RBI.
High chopper instead of a double play ball for Brent Lowry. And that gets the Blue Jays a run. That was their sixth. Made it 6-0 at the time. They went on to a 9-4 win over the Detroit Tigers. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. And the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls, but first, let's listen in. I talked to Todd Redmond after his outing. It's kind of the neat way they do things in spring training is they keep the clubhouse open during the game, so once a player is done for the day, you can go in and talk to him. Redmond was perfect through four innings, retired the first 13 batters he faced, took a one-hit shutout into the sixth, and in that sixth inning, he did get knocked around. He gave up six straight, really hard-hit balls in that sixth inning, and there were three doubles and a home run among them. But he winds up going six, finishing the inning, getting into the 80s as far as pitch count is concerned. And here's what he had to say to the scrum when it was all over.
Those five pretty spectacular innings off the top from you. How did you feel out there?
Felt good. Felt great. I was able to hit my spots, and that was what I did today. I was able to locate my off-speed, too.
When you're in a groove like that, does it feel different? Do you feel like you're able to do things that that, you know, not or, that ordinarily are tougher maybe?
No, I just was able to be on top of the ball today, and we worked out in the bullpen and was able to carry it out into the field.
How did you feel coming into that sixth inning? It seemed like maybe it was a bit of fatigue.
Felt good. I mean, I felt strong, but a few pitches flattened out, and they were able to get hits, and it was actually a good pitch on the home run, but he just opened up and hit it.
Is that a sign when you flatten out that you've kind of hit the wall for the day?
No, you just got to battle through it. I could have went back out in the seventh and got right back on the groove, but it just happens sometimes.
Were you happy that they let you stick around in there when Pete came out after the, I don't know, fourth hit?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am happy to be out there and show that I can make it through the sixth, even when a few bumps in the roads here and there, but just to be able to make it out through the sixth and finish the sixth, my scheduled innings was good.
You're pleased that you put in this type of outing this late in the campaign and the bid for one of those rotations?
I'm going to treat every start the same. No matter if it's season or here, I'm going to go out there and give it 110%, and you're going to get my best outing, either if it's good or it's going to be bad. Hitters are good too, so you got to take the lumps when you got them, but go out there and prove that you can actually stay.
You said last time that you can never do enough to show that you belong, but do you feel like this was another good, strong step?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can always improve. That sixth inning doesn't happen. I mean, that's improvement. They made a few adjustments on me in that sixth inning on their third time around on the plate, and we're jumping on early pitches, and I could have pitched backwards and changed the outcome, but was able to get my pitch count up where I needed to be, and it was good.
When your pitches flatten out like that, is that a grip thing, maybe something that's a little different, or that you can readjust?
No, it's, I would say it's just I was getting a little in a hurry, and it was flattening out just a tad.
Tell us about the charity that you're supporting and what you're doing for them.
Yeah, it's just pediatric cancer for the kids to help find a cure. A faster cure would be great. I mean, you know, that's the link kind of. I don't know exactly the link, but it's on my Twitter. But besides that, I mean, we're doing a cut for the cure on the 26th. And I'm going to shave my head to, I think, a number one, but I'm shooting for a two just so I can have a little bit of hair on there. But anything to help the kids, and it's a good cause. And if you go to the link on my Twitter page, or if you you can donate, we're trying to earn $50,000 for the pediatric cancer cause.
It's obviously a great cause. Are you worried about the look with the woodsman's beard and the?
No, I got a hat on. I got a hat. I mean, it'll look the same when I get a haircut underneath, but as soon as I take my hat off, it'll be a little different. But it's a good cause. Come support it. I mean, and, you know, throw a donation in there here and there.
Is there a reason you picked this cause to support?
We do my agent, B.B. Abbott, and everybody, we do a thing. I think Chipper Jones is doing it with us and a few other guys from different teams. But besides that, we did a fashion show earlier this spring training for it.
There's no, like, personal?
No, there's no personal thing. But, I mean, it's a good cause, and we kind of just went with it, and that's one of the big things. It, you know, I have a little girl that I walked down the fashion show. Her name was Faith, and it was she came and watched me pitch in Detroit, and she gave me a bunch of bands and stuff, so it was good.
Todd Redmond, who threw awfully well today, and then at the end of that talking about Cut for the Cure that he's doing in support of pediatric cancer. I just tweeted out a link as well on my Twitter, at Wilderness590. You can follow him on Twitter, at RedneckRed34, to find out how you can help if you want to make a donation to help fight pediatric cancer. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to your calls. It's the Blue Jays Talk. Matt is in Halifax. Welcome aboard, Maritimer.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was just listening to the show, and you were talking about the optimism and everything else. I wanted to say that we're pretty optimistic about the team altogether. And
nice.
The one question I had for you, you Easterners are a good lot. Yeah. The one question I had for you was the catching situation, just because I know one departure, you were talking about Josh Johnson leaving, and the other major departure is J.Pierre Encilla.
Yep.
And Deonner Navarro, although I know he might be an upgrade in terms of average behind the plate, I wanted to know how he's dealt with the staff so far this spring, from what you've seen, and what the backup plan would be if he can't catch enough games. Because I don't think he's had more than 250 at-bats in the last 5 years. So
no, he hasn't. You're right. The backup plan, I guess, is Kratz and Toley until A.J. Jimenez is ready. But the Blue Jays are very confident that Navarro will be able to handle it. And I'm interested to see, to be honest, because you're right. It's been a while, and we don't know.
When we look at the strong clubs that make the playoffs, generally speaking, they seem to have a strong catching situation, whether it's the Braves, the Red Sox, any team that seems to go into the playoffs and beyond. And you look at St. Louis with Yadier Molina, you don't have to look any further than him.
Well, you're talking about the best catcher in baseball, but the Red Sox certainly didn't have a good catching situation last year. They won the World Series, and their starting catcher lost his job in Game 3 of the World Series. They used their backup the rest of the way. Jared Saltalamacchia was the Sox catcher, not good behind the plate at all, but a good hitter. But at some point, they decided enough was enough, and they had to make the switch. But I mean, that's getting down the road a little bit. If the Blue Jays are in position late in the season, and they have a problem at catcher, they'll go out and find one. They think that they're doing well. The pitchers, all of them have told me that they like throwing to him and that they think he calls a good game and he's good support. Mark Burley has raved about him, and Mark Burley, you know, hasn't shaken off a catcher in 10 years. So it's important to have a good catcher back there. A guy who knows what he's doing when Burley's on the mound. So far, so good. But you know what? It's spring, and in spring training, so far, so good kind of goes for everybody. So it will be interesting to see how Navarro holds up, how long he'll be able to stay, whether he wears down late in the season. Who knows?
Exactly. How close is Jimenez to being ready to... I know he's getting tutored by Sal Fasano in New Hampshire. So, does he seem like he's going to be a starting catcher when he comes up? And is that part of the reason he's not the backup right now? Do they want him to be catching lots and lots and lots of games?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you don't want to bring up a kid to be a backup. That's one of the reasons why Anthony Gose, you know, you could have him on the bench or you could have him in Buffalo getting 500 at-bats, and you'd rather the kids get the reps. A.J. Jimenez is ready defensively now to play in the major leagues, but his bat could use a lot of work, and he's been hurt, and he hasn't had a lot of time, so he needs a ton of reps. But he may not be that far off from being able to contribute up here.
Looking forward to seeing him.
All right, Matt, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. He's going to be fun once he gets up here, but he's going to be a defense-first guy. Andrew in Toronto. Andrew, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
How's it going?
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
Day.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I heard your segment, and I started listening when you talked about who you'd like on the bench, and it really brought me back to last season when we had Rajah Davis, and I think he's really going to be missed. And I was hoping to hear you comment on what kind of void that might create in the team. And then I'm not necessarily all that neutral, but how many times do you think we're going to have to watch Ghost get tossed out at second trying to steal bases before, you know, everybody starts saying, oh, man, we really miss Rajah, so... I'll hang up and listen.
All right. First of all, A, I don't think we're going to see that much of Anthony Gose. Two, I don't know why you are down on Gose as a base stealer. He's the fastest guy I've ever seen, and hopefully will develop into a guy who's got a really, really good percentage of success stealing bases. And for me, anyway, there's no reason to believe that he won't. They will miss Rajah Davis. Rajah Davis did a lot of things that this team right now, the way the roster is set up, could really use. He hit left-handed pitching. He played solid defense in the outfield, and he stole bases. And they don't have someone on the bench who does all those things right now, and that's why they're going to miss Rajah Davis.
He's a perfect complement to Adam Lind as a platoon DH. He was a great pickup to take out Melky Cabrera in the 7th, 8th, 9th with a lead to improve the defense. Or if you're down and you're down by a run and anybody gets on base, Rajay Davis can be plugged in and will steal second and third for you and turn it into a rally. So they really will miss him, unfortunately. But he's gone. The Tigers got him, and he's going to be a nice little weapon for Detroit to have. He's going to be their everyday left fielder to start the season, and we'll see how it goes from there. So, yeah, they're going to miss him. Moises Sierra will be that fourth outfielder. He's more adventuresome defensively than Rajay is, but he's got a much, much, much better throwing arm. He's got power where Rajay Davis doesn't, but he doesn't steal bases like Rajay does. So Rajay was a terrific weapon on the bench. And Anthony Gose can be that terrific weapon on the bench, and he'd be perfect too, but he doesn't hit left. He doesn't hit right-handed. So not only can he not be a platoon guy with Lind, but he can't give Colby Rasmus a day off against a tough lefty. And Gose really needs to work on that K rate. And so hopefully he winds up getting a ton of at-bats somewhere, whether it's Buffalo or here, but there don't seem to be any at-bats for him here. More of your phone calls in a second, but first over on the Twitter, Dan at VA3ETS, I don't know what that means, asks me about Todd Redmond saying he could have pitched backwards in that sixth inning, when that tape we just played of Todd Redmond and what that means. Well, it means breaking balls in fastball counts, fastballs in breaking ball counts, and not letting hitters see a pattern from you. And he didn't do that. And as I was talking about with Joe Siddle before, you wonder how long it takes to figure that out, because he gave up a home run to Ezekiel Carrera, who led off that inning. And then first pitch double, first pitch rocket to short, first pitch sack fly on a hard line drive to center, and then back-to-back loud doubles. So if you're thinking that, maybe I got to change my patterns. Maybe they're figuring some stuff out. Got to be able to see that a little bit earlier before an inning gets as thoroughly out of hand as that top of the sixth inning did, with the Detroit Tigers scoring four runs while there was still only one out. But those were the only four runs they got, as Steve Delabar, Aaron Loop, and minor league call-up Tyler Ibarra each dealt a shutout inning, and the Blue Jays beat the Tigers 9-4 to move to 11-11 on the spring. Still a few minutes. Phone lines are open, and we are Blue Jays talking it up, and we will do it again tomorrow, the Blue Jays talk, until 5 o'clock Eastern, though we might not have as much time because it's a Yankee game, and the Yankees tend to take their time. It's our only trip to Tampa. Usually there's like six games that the Jays play the Yankees in the spring. This year it's only happened twice, and they only played the Red Sox twice as well. They're cutting down on their American League East opponentness. I think the Orioles, yeah, only twice for the Orioles too, and four times against Tampa Bay Rays. Three times against Tampa Bay Rays, but two of them were trips to Port Charlotte. Seen a lot more Phillies and Pirates this year, and that's the way it should be. If you're afraid, and the Blue Jays have been in the past, not afraid, but they've held back their starting pitchers in games against American League East opponents. We saw it yesterday. Drew Hutchison didn't pitch yesterday, or pardon me, Todd Redmond didn't pitch yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays because, well, he might face the Tampa Bay Rays on April 3rd. So if you can play more of the Phillies and Pirates and Astros and Braves, and who they're not playing at all this year, but those sorts of teams, I think that's the far better move, even though it's always fun playing the Yankees. Rob is in Aurora. Rob, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Mike, it's good that we're talking at this point about who's our bench, because I think that's a sign that, you know, we got some quality on that field.
Well, it's nice. It's true that the roster seems to be, like, the regulars seem to be pretty set. We'll see how long this Reyes hamstring thing lasts. But other than that,
I just don't see what Asturias brings. I mean, it's got to be a better option to come off the bench. You know, he doesn't bring terrific speed. Got a mediocre bat. Seems to be below average on defense. Is Kawasaki not a better option just for pure energy and attitude?
Energy and attitude don't win ball games.
Well, I know, but he's got at least as much talent, don't you think?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that the reason you think that is because, you know, the Meisser Astures of 2013 is burned into your head, and it should be. I mean, that's the, you know, most Blue Jays fans didn't pay any attention to Meisser Astures before he got to the Blue Jays, and he was terrible last year. He had one of the worst seasons that any player has had in the 21st century was Meisser Astures last year with the Blue Jays. But before that, he was about a 277 hitter with an on-base over 330, a guy who didn't strike out too much with solid positional versatility. But you're right, on the turf, he's below average defender. But I really don't think we saw the real Meisser Astures last year, and hopefully we see the real Meisser Astures this year in a role that is better suited for him as a utility guy, as opposed to someone who was, you know, starting every day like the Blue Jays did with him last year for the first few months of the season.
Has he looked any better to you in spring training? You've seen all the games.
He looks fine. He's looked okay. His defense has looked all right. I don't know how well he swung the bat. But honestly, I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me in these limited spring training outings. So you certainly hope that he's going to be back to normal this year.
And I think one of the things that you don't get from the stats crazy industry that baseball has become is the effect that a stabilizing force like Navarro behind the plate, his ability to call a game, his ability to know the nuances of the batter, the flow of the game, what's working for the pitcher. I mean, today was a good example of that. He seemed to be in a pretty good rhythm with Redmond, who's got to have everything going for him to be effective, and he seemed to get a lot out of him. That's not the first time I've seen that this spring.
Well, but it's not the first time Navarro's caught him this spring, though, right? So,
right.
I mean, those kinds of things are really, really hard to define. I don't know. They're hard to measure. How much of an effect does he have? And how often do we say that the catcher called a great game when really the pitcher had really good stuff? Or how often does a pitcher get lit up when the catcher's calling a great game and the pitcher's just not executing on the pitches? So, I'm going to wait and see on that. And I like to have a little more hard evidence before I buy that this guy is going to make a huge difference that way. But certainly we all hope he does. Thank you for the call, Rob. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the calls, all the tweets. Even that, guys. But, yeah, all the tweets. And we'll do this again tomorrow because, well, why not? Spring training, there's a game every day. And tomorrow, the Blue Jays cross the causeway, which is a lovely causeway, the Courtney Campbell Causeway, and they're in Tampa to take on the Yankees. Mark Burley against Michael Pineda, the resurgent Michael Pineda, who's giving Yankee fans hopes and dreams and all those sorts of things. We're on at 12:30 Eastern time. The first pitch will be at 1:05. Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and I will bring you all the action. So a big thank you to all of you, to Tom Young, to Derek Brandeo, Frank Head, for all the aforementioned. I'm Mike Wilner. Have a wonderful Saturday night. Leafs Nation pregame coming up.